Hi, Deal Scout listeners. This is Mark Portney, the president of Global Source Infrastructure Partners. Global Source is the global player in the sourcing, manufacturing, and importing of consumer goods. For the last 35 years, we've worked with consumer good brands, aggregators, and PE firms to source, manufacture, and import their goods with an average of 15% savings on product costs. We offer a risk-free quote on any of your current products. Simply send us samples, and we'll deliver to you a quote with your exact landed costs to your door, minimum order quantity, and project timing. Once you approve the quote, we'll deliver counter samples for you to sign off on and place your order. Oh, and by the way, this quote is 100% free and we absorb the freight costs. Visit globalsourceip.com and book a call to get started. Mention the Deal Scout podcast and I'll personally be on our intro call to answer any and all of your questions. That's globalsourceip.com to get started.
Hey, good day, fellow dealmakers. Welcome to the Deal Scout. Josh here, your host, also a fellow dealmaker. On today's show, we're going to have a conversation with Mark, who is doing some incredible things in the world of inventions, in the world of buying businesses, and all sorts of things that go in with e-commerce, and things that you might have even seen on TV late at night. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm here in Florida, the great country of Florida, and it's just, it's beautiful. The weather's great here. The politics are great here. We love it.
Awesome.
How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm a New Yorker, born and bred. So, I feel you.
I can hear it in your voice. And for those just listening in, we're going to ask him some words that New Yorkers are famous for answering. But in the back, man, I'm seeing tons of products and inventions and some cool stuff. So Mark, why don't you give us an idea for those who might be watching or listening, who it is, you know, who are you and what are the things you like to do?
Okay. My name is Mark Portney. I've been in business for about 40 years. I'm 60 for those of you who have a calculator out and you're counting. I'm in the import business and really am an expert in sourcing. I was on a show about 5 years ago on Discovery Science called All American Makers, and that was kind of a kinder, gentler Shark Tank, but that was fun. But it got me a lot of exposure in the world of inventions, acquisitions, and things like that. But my main focus and my business is Global Source Infrastructure Partners. And we do sourcing, and we have a very, very interesting angle on sourcing, frankly.
Okay. So what is the angle? Let's dive right into the deals. What's your unique angle? What's the unique value proposition of why people should be chatting with you?
Well, this is what we do. We specialize in consumer products. So anything that's in a consumer product, we deal in all treatments, metal, ceramic, everything, but we don't do soft goods. So we don't cut and sew garments. We don't do shoes. Anything that returns are a pain in the ass, frankly. Anything else, and you'd be surprised. Don't discount anything out there. What we do is we take two samples from anyone who we agree to do some business with. We pay to send them over. And we pay to get the samples back. And then we also get you a price within 7 to 8 business days. And if it's good, then we expect to do business. But the interesting part of it is we cover all the costs. We do something called DDP, which is delivery duty paid. So it's to your back door. Now, Josh, I don't think you're in the import business, but the reality is that it was a nightmare last year. Anybody who's importing has war stories. Everybody took it in the bung bum, and they definitely have an eyeball on what happens to the freight rates, et cetera. What I do is I take a freight rate and I lock it in. If during the course of when your goods are on the way, if the freight rate goes up, well, that's my problem. So imagine if you're if you're an aggregator, if you're a private equity firm, if you're an M&A firm, what that means. So M&A firms and PE firms, they do things called quality of earnings. but very few of them do something called quality of costs, which is the largest item on your P&L is the cost of goods. Nobody's really paying attention to the cost of goods. What would it be worth if I could trim 20, 25, 30% off of your cost of goods and only you know it, even before the acquisition? I'd be doing it every time. So we deal with aggregators and we deal with PE firms and we deal with M&A guys. Not publicly. We do it, you know, under the cloak of darkness because, nobody... go ahead. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I think this is brilliant. So as an acquirer, right? So there's a few ways to, increase the profitability. So if you're an acquisition firm and you're looking at an import business, you can raise prices, you could, sell more, or you could, cut people, or you could cut cost of goods sold in other ways. And it sounds like you guys do that real good. You could take a look at that. So kind of explain that part of the deal and how you work with those kind of companies.
Well, it's not an import business, Josh. It's any business that's consumer products, anything. So could you imagine taking a look and taking two samples from the business that you're going to acquire and sending them off and finding out, A, is the quality of costs legitimate? Because everybody does a quality of earnings, but nobody does a quality of costs. And if they are legitimate, fantastic. But if they're not legitimate and you can save 25 points, 20 points, 30 points, whatever it is, can you imagine? And only you know it. And that could be before closing. What does that do to the bottom line on the largest item on the P&L?
Yeah.
It's absolutely, you can do it without raising price. You can do it without getting rid of personnel, unless you've got a crazy giant payroll, but that's your business, not mine. And that's, that's where we come in. But, I have to be honest with you. We're very picky. As to who we work with, only because all of the upfront costs are mine. So if you're going to be a tire kicker and you're going to be a wise guy, I'm going to find you out real quick and I'm not going to want to do business with you. But the people that we have relationships with, and it is in all three of the spaces that we just spoke about, not to mention I've been importing for 35 years for my own account. It's really, really an effective way to go about it. And furthermore, the people who really got screwed last year with the supply chain issues don't have to do it. If the price is $3.75, it's $3.75 in your door. Open up the back door of your warehouse and it's $3.75. Freight goes up, my problem. Any issues with the drayage, which is from the port to the warehouse, my problem. So that's really how we do it. And people are finding it intriguing because they can't believe that I'm either nuts or I know what I'm doing, one or the other.
And we'll find out which one that is on this interview today. Now, how did you get into this industry? You've been doing it forever, right? How did you get your start in this?
Well, I started off when I was very young in the plant and flower business. And I realized that the guys that were making a lot of money were these old time importers. You're talking about in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. And they were bringing goods in and they were super cheap. So I decided to take a foray and just dabbling a little bit in it. We did it with the fresh flowers and we did it with baskets and a couple of other things. I said, wow, my margins just skyrocketed by not having a guy in the middle. This is insanity, right? I was young. Then I got into a similar business, which was floral supplies for the floral industry. So we were the largest floral supplier in the United States for floral supplies, everything in the flower shop that didn't die. So we would do everything from knives to wire to vases. I became the largest vase supplier to 1-800-Flowers at the time. It was, I really got proficient at it, really. And then that was the beginning of starting to really go crazy.
Yeah. So it's if you could buy the supply cheaper than everybody else, you already got, before it even hits a door or talks to a customer, you already have a one up on your competition.
Well, that's number one. Number two, I'm bringing 35 years of knowledge to the table. Maybe you're not putting the proper code on it. Maybe you're not, there's a million different ways that people spend too much money. And we know better because like I said, I've got a doctorate in failure, and I am so experienced, and in every single way, shape, or form that you can get screwed, I'm not happy to report, but it's happened. And what do you get? You either win or learn. And that's what I've done. And that's where I am 35 years later.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, you've spent some time overseas and in off-seas marketing or manufacturing, and you've learned the industry of international business, right? So for someone, I'm ignorant to how that even works. Give us a picture in what it takes from when the time you hit, you know, buy to things going on overseas, getting manufactured, getting into the door for $375, roll up the back door. There it is. Like, kind of paint a picture of how that works.
Well, first of all, I have a payroll in China. I have employees in China. Second of all, the relationships that I have with the factories are incredible. They fly in for my kids' weddings. They've stayed in my home for holidays. So the chances of me getting screwed by just short of a family member overseas is very unlikely. So that's what that is. But we also have third-party inspection services that go to the factories. I go, before the pandemic, I went 4 to 5 times a year. I've been doing that every year. Haven't missed since the beginning of the pandemic. As a matter of fact, I had a flight scheduled for February 2020, and United told me, see you later, bro. You're not going anywhere. So, you know, I go on a very, very regular basis. So that's the differential. I have all of this time, effort, and knowledge invested in the import sector. And like I said, we don't have enough time on this podcast for me to go through every single thing that that I've imported. But take it from me, with boots on the ground over there on my payroll, we can find everything and anything. I mean, we're doing right now. I'm sourcing treadmills. Don't ask me why. I'm just doing it. There was a customer request, you know?
Yeah. What's the biggest thing you've ever imported, and maybe the smallest thing that we wouldn't even have in our mind, but you know, you've done on volume?
Well, I'm a component guy, so what I do is I buy things for the Christmas industry that you would never, never in a million years. So you know, on a wreath, those fake little red berries.
Yeah,
I bring in 14 million stems of those little red berries. We bring in 12 million pine cones, right? So they think, oh, you know, why would you be bringing in a pine cone? We got plenty of pine cones. Yeah, but when you have to paint them or make them in a group of three, wire them to go in the Christmas decorations, it's a whole nother game. I've been doing that with a single customer over and over again for the past 30 years, same customer. That goes to Walmart, Costco, Trader Joe's, Safeway supermarkets, Whole Foods. I mean, everywhere and anywhere. Little things that you would never understand. You'll understand when I explain them. But we bring in like cut wire and steel. Steel comes in it's, like an item the size of a shoebox can weigh 80 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
So what happens? You open up the container and there's one layer of little boxes on the floor of the container because it weighed out. You didn't volume out, you weighed out. So either A, you go back to the customer and you go, listen, man, I got 3/4 of a container that could ride for free. What do you want to do? Or let's just pay for the wire the way it comes. And, you know, and that's, and a lot of times that's what we do. So, and it's just not wire and berries. It's crazy. It's just crazy stuff. We make custom goods. We can basically do it all.
So if someone has an idea, you could take that idea and have that physical product back in their place with a cost into their warehouse. Or if they're already doing it at mass volume, you could take that product and you could find a better cost and you get it in their door, de-risk the whole transit. And they know up their hard costs. They can lock that in.
That's correct.
Why aren't these? So I talked with a lot of like private equity groups, aggregators, you know, M&A groups. Why can't they just do this themselves? Why would they even want to talk with you?
Best of luck. They think they. I love that shit. I really do. I love that because you should be M&A-ing. You should be private equity-ing. You should be aggregating. what the hell are you doing with this? Let me be the sourcing department. Let me do the stuff, let the heavy lifting. You just sit behind your desk and crunch the numbers. Let me get in the dirt. That's really what's going on. And it's not an item like an idea. This is items that they're doing in decent volume or mass volume. But imagine if you're doing hundreds of thousands of units and I can save you 25% and you've done nothing except trim that off of a line on the P&L, you know?
And when we talk about like quality, you say you have some quality control in there. So let's just say I do 100,000 units of X a month, right? And you could come in and cut 25%. I'm going to say, well, I thought I got the best deal. I've been shopping this for a while. I went on Alibaba or whatever, and I thought I was getting the best. Yet you could come in and cut costs. Does that mean that the quality is going to decrease?
Absolutely not. Like, and by the way, I'm glad you said it. So Alibaba, you're going to go on? Who are you talking to? Do you have any idea? I'm here. You can get me. You can talk to me. You can get responses. You can get information. You can get everything you need. So number one, when we're making a large run, okay, not even a large run, any run that needs inspection, we send our own people into the factory. This way, they can't be kind of swayed. Should I call it swayed? Is that a polite?
Yeah,
is that
that's
a polite
great
way to say? you know, so they can't be swayed. On top of that, what we do is we send in a qualified third-party inspection service. And what do? They come in, they inspect raw materials. Then they inspect DuPro, which is during the process. Then they have a random finished goods, and then they have a container loading inspection. They send an inspection report that's about this thick and to our specs. And that this is the reason why we don't get garbage.
Yeah. So when you're working with an acquirer, right? And they're showing you that, you know, hey, Mark, I need you to, you know, we're looking to make a $5 million purchase, pretty big purchase, and it's in consumer goods. And they go, take a look at this. What are you looking for? And what might they be missing? And where's the big gold in that opportunity for you?
Well, they're sending me their item. And then what we do is we analyze it because we have experience in all of these different items. And I mean, you wouldn't believe the things we look at. We have experience in manufacturing the item. Maybe I never manufactured anything like this before, but if it's a powder coated metal housing, we can do it. It doesn't matter. We do tons and tons and tons, thousands of containers of metal alone. So what they could be missing, a number of things. First of all, go do your business. What are you worrying about importing for when I can do it all? I got into an argument with a customer last week because the pricing was so good that he was nasty. Like, I was like, dude, I'm not dealing with this. I'm not. I mean, I gave you a legitimate price. I'm willing to stand behind it. Either pull the trigger or go fuck yourself. One or the other.
And how did he respond to that?
I think he went and gone fucked himself.
So we're not going to paint a picture there of what that looks like.
No, we're not. I just want to let you know that the moral of that story was my price was so good that he didn't believe me.
Yeah.
But he wasn't out of dime. Nobody's out of dime until it's time to pull the trigger. So why wouldn't you send us samples and a target cost? That's important. What are you paying now? And don't bullshit me. Don't bullshit me. What are you paying now? Let me tear it apart. And it's all going to come out in the wash, because if you lie to me about the target cost, I'm going to find you out anyway. So why don't you just make it easy for us, both of us, me and you, to give me a legitimate price of what you're paying. Either I come back and I shake your hand and say, listen, dude, this price is phenomenal. Keep doing what you're doing. I don't even want the business. Or I could save you 25 points. What say you?
What say you, good sir? What say you? Now, I love this model, but here you are taking all the risks. So you take, you know, DDP, right? You're taking it, you're sending it over, you're deconstructing, and you're finding if I can make this thing cheaper, faster, better, right, to save on costs there. Like, why, as your business model, I'd love to hear your business model explained, like, how do you make money? And then why do you take all the risk up front? Because I think it's phenomenal. It seems like a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer. It's just the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys are underwater. They've got 900 people in a sourcing department. Not that I want anybody to lose their jobs. I don't. But at the same time, you're heavy-handed. You went overboard because you didn't understand the animal, and you put 900 people in the sourcing department that you didn't have to put in. And now here you are, and here I am. So, you know, what is my model? My business model is very simple. I get the goods so well that I put in a small margin for myself. You don't feel anything. So 375, I put a small margin in the 375. 375 is your price completely. If you're paying 4.25 and I get it for 375, your price is 375. My margin is built in. There's no red cross on my back, dude. I just, I'm not in the charity business. I'm in business. So that's what I do. So yeah. we add it in, but we still come back with the 375.
Okay. So what's included in that price, right? So other, what's included in yours, and what, as someone who's in the import or consumer product goods service, what fees might they not be even knowing that they're paying? So kind of explain what you get versus what might happen over here.
Well, I mean, there's a number of spots. I mean, if you're not proficient, I mean, that's why people, you know, some of them employ experts internally. But there's a lot of areas. I mean, maybe they're misclassifying their goods. Number one, maybe they're buying from a couple of guys that are stepping on something. So, I mean, basically when I see an item and it comes from a certain region in China, I know it's a trading agent, because there's no way that you're going to be making X in Hong Kong or Y in Shenzhen. If it's a hardwood product, hardwood only grows in northern China. It's hardwood. It needs to be cold. You can't grow hardwood in tropical paradise. You just can't. So that, I mean, minimally, but that's the kind of things that I look at and understand the minute I look at something, you know. So why does a doctor look at something and you have no idea what it is, but instantaneously he looks at it and he goes, oh yeah, no, that's a number six. Well, guess what? He's seen 300 number six walk into the office that year. And that's what's going on.
Yeah. So included in your quote, what's included in your quote? So if you give someone 375 for product A,
yeah,
what's included in yours, and what should, if they're not looking at this, what should they look at in their current, you know, consumer price good, you know, the product good? What should they be looking at? Hitting fees or these extra costs that they might not know they're paying?
That's an interesting question, because every situation's different. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing with the freight portion. I don't know what they're doing with the duty portion. I don't know what they're doing with the inland freight. I don't know all of those things, but these are all different areas. Maybe somebody's charging them a VIG overseas because they're, I get 50 cents a unit. Maybe they don't even know that, you know, maybe they don't, you know, to start over again, you're washing away all the nonsense and all the 50 cent VIG or whatever the hell's going on, which I'm not interested in. I don't give a shit. I'm going to a factory. I'm telling you what you need. You need a left-handed widget. You need 100,000 of them, and you got to be below 4.25. Okay, watch this. And then I go, and either I can do it or I can't. I'm really a KISS guy. Keep it simple, stupid. That's who I am. I'm not highfalutin. I don't think I'm anybody. I'm just a guy who knows how to do what I'm doing and knocks the shit out of it every day. And on top of it, I don't charge you a red hot nickel to find out. So that's why I'm a little bit picky about who I do this with, because then I'll get a guy going, oh yeah, let's throw that asshole a product and let's see what happens. Yeah, no, I'm not a science experiment, dude. I'm a guy that's going to do a big job for you. And you're talking about tens of millions of dollars in savings. That's what you're talking about. So,
yeah. So when we talk about money, right, what would be to get your interest? Like, what would be like the minimum order or something like that, where you're like, hey, if it's below this, just keep doing what you're doing. Maybe we'll talk in the future. But once you hit here, this is a sweet spot for me. This is the beginning of a great relationship. What does that look like?
No, what I do is I actually back into that. That's a great question, Josh, actually. So what I do is, so they say, oh, here's a left-handed widget. And then I go back and I say, okay, left-handed widget, I could do 375, but we have an MOQ, minimum order quantity of 5,000 pieces. You hit the 5,000 pieces, we go to the dance. If you don't hit the 5,000 pieces, we can't do it, because that's minimum order quantity. If you hit the MOQs, and what I do, not only do I give good pricing, I also try to work down the MOQs to try to, you know, so you don't have too much money tied up in it. But with the supply chain issues and everything, you know, you definitely want to have some backups, especially we're coming into fourth quarter. You definitely want to have some backups.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is with the supply chain issues, right? We saw the cost of goods, like, for example, windows, right? We work with a lot of real estate companies and construction companies, like windows in general, like the prices went up and then they're on back orders. There's a bunch of construction sites with, you know, plywood covering the windows and they're waiting for the orders to come in. So how do you make sure that that doesn't happen to you or the clients that you're working with? How do you make sure that you guys have somewhat insight into the supply chain?
Well, first of all, we have a direct contact with the shipping companies, not guys in the middle. I have a partner that speaks to them on a regular basis. We get intel on the shipping companies on a regular basis. So we're finding out what's going on. As far as pricing is concerned, that's a calculated risk that I'm taking. Nobody knows. Nobody knows where the freight prices are going. I'll tell you, they're probably going to be very expensive at least till the end of the year. And then next year will be a clean slate. Let's see what happens. But nobody knows. Yeah. Nobody knows the answer.
What, out of all the products you ever got, which one excited you and your family the most? Like, you're like, oh, this is cool. I never thought of this. Or is something that you wound up buying a few yourself?
I mean, we did a Christmas item. It was called Light Flurries, and it actually projected a moving snowfall on your house. And that was a very interesting project because it was very intricate. So I went over there a couple of times to work through the bugs. We brought it in. It was pretty cool. We got about 2 or 3 years out of it, and then technology took over because it was an LED lamp that blew that went onto a mirrored ball. But now with technology and the LED came. And that's how old I am, Josh. The LED came along and then boom, it blew it away. So with a small little thing about this big, they can do a whole snowfall scene on the house. And then that was the end of that. And it was half the price, no less. Technology is a wonderful thing. But yeah. That was a pretty cool thing. I mean, you can see behind me, we do waterproof fire starters. We do fire gloves, magnesium strikers. We do baby items. I've got hot and cold packs. It doesn't stop, and it never will.
Yeah. So you mentioned a few items that you just won't touch, right? Shoes, things that need to be sewn, soft goods, things that you said have a return factor. Why? I mean, it sounds like you potentially made this decision after you got your doctorate in failure. Like, why do you stay away from it? Tell me some of the stories behind that and why you've shifted to only hard consumables.
Okay, because and I'll tell you one other thing. When I'm also looking at deals, I tell people ahead of time, no apps. Why no apps? Because there's 300,000 apps right now being thought of and made, and it's like buying a lotto ticket. So why wouldn't I just buy a lotto ticket? Yeah. So that's that. But you know, with the sewing and the cutting and the sizes and the shoes and the it's just a lot of nonsense on the customer side. And I just because I'm experienced, it's a personal decision and a business decision why I decided not to go forward with that, just because it's nothing but a colossal pain in the ass. And guys, if you're all out there in the clothing business, I don't want to hear horse shit out of you. That's your business. I do my business, and everybody rides off into the sunset. So I don't want any diatribes about the shoes and clothing horse shit, you know?
There you go. I like that you just shoot straight, right? I really admire that about you. You talk about riding off into the sunset. What needs to happen, right? We talk about winning the lottery or, you know, we hit a big goal or something like that. Like, how do you know you're winning as a deal maker and, you know, riding off into the sunset seems, you know, closer than further?
Well, because I'm not riding off into the sunset. I'm never riding off into the sunset. I love what I do. I do it every day. Every deal's different. I love it. I used to say as a younger man that I'll die at my desk, but I probably won't die at my desk. But, you know, family's important, et cetera. But I don't see, you know, I'm not doing manual labor. I'm not doing physical stuff. I'm using my mouth and I'm talking in my experience. And okay, so I'll go to China a few times a year and do my deals and visit my friends that own factories, et cetera. But you know, the bottom line is I don't see any stopping here. I just don't. I love what I do too much.
Yeah. All right. So out of what you're doing now, what do you do for fun? Right, you're a deal maker. You're working on China hours, and you're dealing deals internationally. How do you kick back and have fun? What do you do for recreation?
Boy, that's embarrassing. I'm going to say nothing. I mean, I just I adore my family. My family is everything to me. I mean, I love spending time with my family. That's what I, you know, and it's basically, you know, whatever you guys want to do, as long as I'm there, man, I'm in. But I don't golf, and I don't do shit like that. I don't fish. I don't do anything. I just whatever my family, whatever my family's doing, that's what I want to be doing. So
cool.
I'm a basic family guy.
Your family dude. Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's about the family.
I just had my first, my daughter had him, but my daughter had her first child, which was my grandson. So, you know,
you're a new grandpa.
I'm a new grandfather 2.5 years ago. He's 2.5. So he's my universe. And he's like, you know, he says jump. I say how high. That's it.
You know, I heard grandkids are better than actual kids. Like if I could have skipped it and gone straight to the grandkids, I heard they're pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, listen, man, everybody says the same shit. Oh my God, grandkids, you know. But what I'm telling you is, like, whatever somebody tells you, multiply it by 10. That's what I'm telling you. It's fantastic. I'm loose as a goose. You know, I'll never forget, I used to come home all those years ago and go, "Don't do that, don't touch this, don't do." The kid touches something now, it's like, yeah, let him touch that. That's all right. Listen, it's good. Hey, kid, you want a cookie? All right, cool. You know, I mean, and his mother's yelling at me. He just had a cookie. Who gives a fuck? Give him a cookie. What's the big deal? Give him a cookie. You know, so that's what I do for fun.
You know, if you and I were ever in a movie together, like we get to be in any movie, past, present, or future, what kind of movie would you want to co-star in it? Like, we're going to get like leading roles, big shot, lots of budget. You and I could be in a movie. What kind of movie would you want to be in?
That's a great question, because I don't even look at movies. I think the last movie I saw was like Monsters, Inc. with my kids 25 years ago. I don't even watch movies. I could give two shits. I like documentaries. I like documentaries. And I watch because I want to see what's going on behind the scenes. I like that, but I like real documentaries where they tell you the truth and not some fluffy horseshit. I like that. But that's a great question. I mean, should I say some superhero nonsense? I mean, what should I do?
You just shot straight with me. You're like, bullshit, I don't want to be in a movie.
Movies suck. I don't know, man. My sons are going to kill me because he loves movies, but who cares?
Yeah. All right. So, as you're building this, right, you're building some cool things. You got some teams going. When it comes to a perfect deal that comes across your plate, like I'm interviewing a bunch of people, and man, I find the perfect deal, and I go, "Hey, you got to talk to my buddy Mark." What does that perfect deal look like for you?
A perfect deal is somebody that's bringing in goods and feels like, you know what, it just doesn't feel right to me. I think there's some fat. I think there's fat in these goods. Could you take a look at it for me? Or I'm thinking of acquiring this deal, but I really like a nice, like, X-ray vision through what the hell's going on. Not the quality of earnings, not the all the other lines, but the big fat steak that's in the middle of your P&L called cost of goods. Wouldn't you like to throw on a pair of X-ray specs and just look straight through it and go, holy shit, I got another 25 points in this. That's what the perfect deal looks like, not only for me, but it's a perfect deal that looks like for you, because you haven't even closed yet. And you know more than the guy who's selling. How's that? Mm.
When you know more than the person selling, that puts you in a powerful spot. And we did it in the real estate world where we knew something, you know, maybe a complex is going there or whatever, right? If you have an understanding of what might happen in the future, you have an advantage, right?
Well, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. What do they say? Knowledge is power. And the bottom line is, whether you closed or not, I mean, if you closed and you were happy at 425, God bless you. But at the same time, if I could come along and make that 425, 375, who's better than you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. This is super cool. So, Mark, for my private equity friends and aggregators and the people, you know, buying and selling these kind of businesses, and they want your eyeballs on something. Hey, man, we're spending $1 million on this. We think there's some fat here. Where could they go to connect with you and have a chat about it?
GlobalSourceIP.com. It's a the name of the company is globalsourceinfrastructure.com, but it's not. It's globalsourceip.com. Globalsourceip.com.
All right. What we'll do is we'll put that link in the show notes below. So guys, if you're driving, running, whatever, if you're doing a deal, you can always go back to the show notes, click on that, connect directly to Mark, have him take a look, man. The quality of earnings versus the quality of cost. So if that's something that you have immediate control over and that could, you know, maybe get you another vehicle or another house or depend on the size of the deal. Mark, what questions should I have asked you in this interview that I screwed up, man, and I didn't ask you?
No, you didn't really screw up anything. I mean, you definitely proved that I wasn't dealing with a full Beck. I'm no bullshit. And let them mention, your podcast, and I'll get on the intro call right with them. I mean, they'll talk to me directly. I just want to get the deals done, just like they do. I want to get the same deals that they want done. I'm just, I'm wearing a different uniform than they are. But at the same time, you know, mention the podcast and I'll be all over it.
Cool. So this podcast is The Deal Scout. And Mark, what I like about you is you're a straight shooter deal maker, right? If you could take a look at, you know, next time we're working on a deal, I'd love you to take a look at it and go, hey guys, if you buy this right off the bat, you could save 50% on this. Good, man. That'd be cool. So other fellow deal makers out in the audience, as always, reach out to our guests and say thank you. Thank you for, you know, being on the show, sharing your knowledge and wisdom. That's the purpose and mission of the show, is to put deals and deal makers together. If you have a deal, whether you're buying something or maybe you're just spending a lot of money and you want Mark to take a look at it, his contact information will be in the show notes. Reach out to them and say, hey, heard you on the show. Would you mind taking a look at this deal for me? Mark, appreciate you coming on. You hold on real quick. We're going to chat in a minute about a deal. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're working on a deal, looking at a deal, or want to talk about it here on the podcast, head on over to thedealscout.com. Fill out a quick form. Maybe get you on the show next. Till then, talk to you all on the next episode. Bye, everybody.